Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Here are words you may not expect to hear at a commencement speech. You are nothing special. Yes, you've been pampered, cosseted, doted upon, helmeted, bubble-wrapped. Yes, capable adults with other things to do have held you, kissed you, fed you, wiped your mouth, wiped your bottom, trained you, coached you, listened to you, counseled you, encouraged you, consoled you, but do not get the idea you're anything special because you're not. Those words were part of a commencement speech given 2 years ago by a high school teacher, David McCullough Jr. His message became an internet sensation. It received more than 2 million views on YouTube. The speech striking a chord with many who agree that teenagers are harmed by the growing pressure to be exceptional. Now the longtime Wellesley High teacher, father of four, and son of the famous historian has penned a new book titled You Are Not Special and Other Encouragements. And it's a great pleasure to welcome David McCullough Jr. to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Oh, good morning. I'm delighted to be here.
A delight to have you with us. You're going to be in our region, and I'll talk about that in a moment as to where you'll be and what you'll be up to. And I know you were you've been doing some signings in our region already. I guess, what led you to write the speech in the first place, the tone of it for this particular high school graduation?
What I've been observing in my class, I, with growing concern, have noticed kids seeming ever more entitled to every accolade and wide open paths to opportunity. Well-meaning parents have been indulging them, it seems to me, usually with an eye on preferred outcomes. And kids just have been, it seems to me, suffering ever more inflated sense of self, right off, often into the region of delusion. And I thought I'd offer a little perspective.
When
there were, after all, that, you know, that year, 3.2 million kids graduating from high school. And for most of us, it's a statistical inevitability to be average. And so kids off to greet the rest of their lives with inflated senses of self are in for, I fear, some trouble.
When do you think this began? Because I think when you talk to certainly educators and even parents and people who deal with children and adults, we'll say that it has come over the past two or three decades where we have seen this sense of entitlement. I mean, it would even argue that we're seeing it in many of the young adults, the 20, the 30 somethings that have been brought up in that context.
Yeah, I don't know, but so many think that simply showing up is enough, and that their general wonderfulness will bring them their every desire. It's troubling. Yeah, and one sees it in not just teenagers these days, but in you know, people a little bit older than that who should know better.
For you,
and of course, when the reality strikes that you really have to carry your own weight and that you'll be judged on your own merits, can be for some a rude awakening.
Do you think that there is a rude awakening, or they understand, or they think that perhaps it doesn't apply to them?
I hope the awakening is not rude, and I hope it comes much earlier in life. But yeah, some things, a lot of people think, you know, that the rules applicable to other people don't really apply to me, and I deserve special breaks because I am, let's face it, wonderful. One sees a lot of that. It's troubling.
So how do we counter that? How do we look and say to our young people, okay, look, you are special because you are our child. We care about you. We want you to do well. But there's a lot of other people in the world who want their children to do well too. So how do we get along? How do we realize that you don't necessarily have to be the best and smartest person in the room, and there's other people with other ideas?
Oh, I know. Well, it begins at home, and I think parents should not allow their children to believe that the parents' support of them and love for them and esteem of them applies so much once they get beyond the front door, that they shouldn't take their parents' opinions of them as objective assessment. What do we do about it? Well, I hope my book helps a little. We need to talk about it. I think absolutely that it's time for the pendulum to start swinging in the other direction. A big culprit, it seems to me, certainly among high school kids, is this compulsion to be impressive, particularly to the admissions officers at prestigious colleges. That's a big part of it.
You have to do great on the that resume has to look great, right? So you have to. It involves what sports, what clubs, the college preparatory tests, the pre-testing that you get for those tests. All of that figures into that.
All that figures in. And as I said a moment ago, it's a statistical inevitability that most of us are average, and therefore kids have to kind of inflate their accolades. They've got to pad their resumes, they feel, a little bit. And they've got to go off on service trips to third world countries. And those things they're involving them in are terrific for them, but they're doing them for the wrong reasons. They're doing them for the accolades and the attention and the approval of authority figures, rather than investing of themselves in the whatever endeavor it might be for its own sake.
Following the speech, what was the reaction? Because my understanding was is that there were a lot of people who agreed with you. There were a lot of people who went online to see it, and it got passed around. But you also received flack from it.
You know, I didn't, I'm, which is not to suggest that criticism of me and my speech didn't happen, but none of it reached me. The media, I think, tried to make it more controversial than it was. And I have to point out that the You're Not Special riff was at the beginning of the speech and intended with kind of humorous, it was teasing. And the second half of the speech was the much more important part, which was my insistence that they do what they do because they believe in it and to think beyond themselves.
And obviously, when you speak at a commencement, you're not only speaking to the kids, but you are speaking to the parents. And the reaction from the parents has been what?
Because it was from where I stood, uniformly embraced.
Parents understand that their role in this.
They do, and I should point out, I'm also the parent of four kids, three of whom are teenagers, and my wife and I are susceptible to the same temptations and cultural encouragements as other parents these days. Of course we want to see our kids do well, but it's a question of method more than anything else. We need to let our kids fend for themselves more than people seem willing these days. We need to let them navigate a bit on their own and develop the skills that one needs.
How much?
And sometimes that includes the willingness to accept the possibility of failure.
Do you feel you got that from your parents growing up?
Oh gosh, yeah. You know, in fact, the way I was raised would today feel like neglect. You know, about the only supervision we had to endure in those days was, you know, be home by dinner. Dogs went leashless in those days too. And if I wobbled in school, which I did often enough, my parents didn't swoop in to save me. They said, figure it out. If I didn't get playing time in the big game, they weren't on the phone harassing the coach about it. They said, well, you're going to have to work harder. And we were just afforded much more freedom in those days. And sometimes with those freedoms, we screwed up, absolutely. But then we learned from those mistakes. And the problem today is that too many parents are preventing their kids from making instructive mistakes and learning how to handle it.
And of course, there is they also were concerned that you would do well. There was the they wanted you to succeed.
Of course, they did. Yeah, but they also understood that succeeding was my responsibility, not something that my parents and I shared together, or my parents and my tutors and my counselors and my coaches. Yeah, my responsibilities were understood to be mine, and I would live with whatever the consequences might be.
Where does your optimism lie?
I have great faith in the kids. You know, I've had, gosh, now more than 4,000 students, and they are resilient and receptive, and I think they will handle beautifully more freedom. We need to be more trusting of them, more confident in them, and I'm certain things will go just fine.
David McCullough Jr.'s new book is You Are Not Special and Other Encouragements. He is going to be at Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for a signing. May 6th at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. He'll also be at Elm Street Books in Wilton, Connecticut on May 13th and at the R.J. Julia Booksellers in Madison, Connecticut on the 15th of May. Again, the title of the book, You Are Not Special and Other Encouragements. The book is published by Echo. David McCullough Jr., thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Oh, thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.